It talks about Roger Shepherd wanted them so badly on his label, he traveled to where they were and was like basically trying to convince them to join. And there's also some interesting stories about the band The Pin Group, which is an early band which featured Roy Montgomery, I believe. And when they were starting out, they did not have a lot of money, so they recorded very cheaply at this one studio. And unfortunately for The Pin Group, their first two singles were very muddy and poorly received, and they were unfairly criticized for being very Joy Division-y sounding. Although that was a new thing at the time.
1980, 81, yeah. Like that was still in vogue at the time. Although it's funny too, because also all these bands coming out in New Zealand, there wasn't a huge contingency for like the sort of, how should I say, cosmopolitan bands at the time. Like you definitely get that in New York and London, but these communities, you probably have your bar bands and that was about it. Having groups like this breaking into the new wave, exploring these new sounds and making these extrapolations on them, it's incredible. And because of their sort of isolation away from the UK and from America, mm-hmm. it really developed into its own thing, where really Flying Nun Records developed kind of a sound after a while.
Which would later be titled the Dundeen Sound. Mm-hmm. And yeah, so I've just started this book, but it's an interesting, unconventional book telling a story through their discography. And so yeah, I thought I'd highlight some of the earlier stuff in the discography. So yeah, we're going to start off this next set with a track from Pin Group. Their first single was called Ambivalence, and this was the one I was mentioning that was recorded not very well, and they were not very happy with it, and it got a lot of bad reviews, unfortunately. But technically, that single was the very first release on Flying Nun, not what most people believe. The Clean put out a single, mm-hmm. But it was the Pin Group. So they re-recorded it later on for an EP. And all of this came out later in 2012 through Flying Nun on an album that compiled everything called Ambivalence. So we're going to hear Ambivalence 2, the re-recording. Some music from The Clean and a couple other obscure bands and the B-52s in this set. They're not from New Zealand.
They are not New Zealand.
They're from
Kiwis, but yeah. They're from Athens, Georgia, but they are celebrating an anniversary this week, so we're going to be commemorating that. So we're going to get to that. And Dave, we're starting off with what song from The Pin Group again?
Ambivalence 2.
Here we go. We'll be right back. You are tuned in to CJAM 99.1 FM and listening to Revolution Rock. Adam and Dave here taking you up until 9 o'clock tonight, where Mark Casabon takes over with the Cowboys and Indies program. Up until then, though, we're going to be bringing you some great rock and roll, as you've been hearing throughout your Saturday evening. And we ended off playing some music from the B-52s, going back to their 1980 sophomore release, Wild Planet.
Yes, and it's not celebrating a specific anniversary, but it was originally released on August 27th, 1980, 43 years ago?
That's some math. I don't know.
Anyways, approximately. And we heard the track Give Me Back Your Man, another great track on this release. It followed their first album, which did very well. And they had three singles from this album released that also did quite well.
Including Private Idaho. That was probably the biggest one.
Private Idaho was another one. And yeah, just a great album. I just felt like playing a track from it. Part of that, we heard a selection of bands released through the Flying Nun record label, and these ones focused on the early releases from the label. We heard, what was the last track there?
Oh, we heard Venus and the Blue Beetles.
I believe, actually, I typed that wrong. It's Richie Venus and the Blue Beetles.
Oh, Richie Venus, huge difference, sorry.
And originally released in 82, the single Bleeding Heart. And he was kind of a little bit of a rockabilly guy. He really loved the rockabilly.
Would explain his name being Richie.
Yeah. And he only ever put out one single for the label. And then prior to that, we heard a band that also only ever put out one single for the label called 25 Cents. They had a single out called Don't Deceive Me. And the B-side of that release was actually a cover of the Sonics' The Witch. And one of the main members in this band, actually a few members from this band, went on to play and form with other groups. Prior to the 25 Cents band, we heard from The Clean, just a really, really, really cool, unique band from New Zealand that went through a lot when they were starting out, kind of discovering their sound. And they just made a bunch of really lo-fi recordings, and it featured the brothers David and Hamish Kilgore. And then the bassist's name, who is slipping my mind at the moment, but just an amazing band. And unfortunately, was it last year? Hamish passed away.
Yeah, it was a real tragedy. And, you know, a huge hit to fans of the band. He left behind an incredible legacy, though, and the Clean's discography is so rich to make your way through. But playing this early track was really eye-opening, again, just to hear that difference in sound and the evolution they'd go through. Mm-hmm. The title of the track was On Again, Off Again, and that was from the Anthology compilation.
Yes, which compiled all their early singles and then selections from their later albums. And then we started off with music from Ping Group, from their album Ambivalence, which was an album that came out in 2012 on Flying Nun, but in compiled recordings from releases they put out prior to that. We heard the title track, but Ambivalence 2, which is a secondary recording they did of the song. When Flying Nun was originally relabeled, they actually didn't do catalog numbers sequentially, which, if you're reading this book, Needles in Plastic, it kind of talks a little bit about that. But I do recommend, if you liked any of that, check out the label and some of the bands and maybe even the book. Well, maybe we'll play some more on a future episode. I'm sure we will. We usually play a lot from Flying Nun.
I would say so. They're definitely a label worth checking out. A very seminal label, to say the least. Coming up next, we are going to be hearing from, speaking of seminal, a very important band that hails from Germany, Can. We're going to hear something from their final record to feature Damo Suzuki, the German-Japanese singer who was hired after he waited a table for the group and just told them that he was a singer. No sort of audition or anything. He just started performing with them and improvising. And this is a very interesting release, Future Days. It's probably the most ambient, most experimental, ethereal sounding that the group ever got while Suzuki was part of the group. After this, he would leave, pursuing some other artistic pursuits, and the band would continue on to varying degrees of artistic and commercial success thereafter. But this is really considered the last truly essential Can record for a reason. It's in its own way more of an ambient record, which would be odd to play on this show, but there is one very short rockin' track on here which we're going to play called Moonshake. And then we're going to play some groups that definitely, I think, can take something out of the Can playbook thereafter. But we'll get to that when we come back from the set. You're listening to Can here on Revolution Rock and CJAM 99.1 FM.
did.